Hey everyone, and welcome to the Rams Wire Podcast. Thanks for checking out another episode. Today we're going to be recapping the Rams offseason thus far, going back through OTAs and minicamp, talking about everything that's happened in the past few weeks as the team gets ready for training camp and breaks for their summer break, and looking ahead to which players could possibly break out and have big 2019 seasons for the Rams. So first, we'll start with a little recap of OTAs and minicamp. The Rams wrapped up their spring workouts on Tuesday. They were supposed to wrap it up on Thursday, but Sean McVay gave the players a break and canceled the final two practices of minicamp. So everyone is on their way for their summer, and they'll get back in action when the Rams do report for training camp on July 27th. We got players on vacation, we got guys still working out, and everyone's going their separate ways for now until they get back for training camp. But OTAs and minicamp were productive for them. They got great attendance. Everyone was there that was expected to be there. I don't think they had a single absence from anyone on the roster. Guys missed the beginning. You had Marcus Peters, Aqib Talib, Fowler skipping the early portion to take care of some personal things. But by the end, everyone was there, including Aaron Donald, including Todd Gurley. So there's really no concerns about anyone skipping OTAs or minicamp. That's quite the change from the past couple of years when Aaron Donald wasn't in attendance as he held out for that new contract, which he got last year. So it's good to have him back in LA working out with the team. He's talked highly about Eric Henderson, the new defensive line coach. He's one of the reasons that that Donald did want to be in attendance for OTAs and for minicamp, and he loves the way that he's been coaching up the guys and helping them not only in the weight room but also on the field with their technique, being pass rushers, run defenders. Michael Brockers, for one, loves having Donald in LA for OTAs and minicamp. He talked about how Donald is helping the younger guys like John Franklin Myers, Sebastian Joseph Day. Greg Gaines has really taken to learning from Donald and learning his techniques as a pass rusher. So it really benefits everyone that Donald is in attendance and was working out with the team while they did have OTAs and minicamp. Although he wasn't there for the one-day mini camp, he was back home in Pittsburgh, which Sean McVay said was an expected thing, so that was not really any surprise. But on a not-so-positive note, Todd Gurley did not do any work on the field during OTAs or mini camp. He was there. It's not as if he was skipping it. He was in LA. He was at the facility working out and doing things behind the scenes. But he just wasn't on the field practicing with his teammates and taking handoffs and taking carries or anything of that nature. Really, his entire offseason has been about getting that knee healthy, which we've talked about at length, is kind of a concern heading into next season. But he's focused on getting that knee fully healthy for training camp, fully healthy for the upcoming season, and really making sure that he can play a full 16 or 20 game schedule come next season when the Rams are really going to need him. Games aren't won and lost in OTAs and minicamp. You're not going to, for a player like Gurley, he's not going to get much better by taking handoffs and essentially running against air where defensive players can't hit you or tackle you and bring you to the ground. So aside from learning the offense further, I don't know how much of that Gurley is really going to do at this point in his career. He's already proved that he's one of the best running backs in the league. I don't know what he would have really gained out of participating and being on the field. Obviously, it would have kind of quieted speculation about his knee and how healthy he is, but there's really no concern about him. I shouldn't say there's no concern. I would say it's not as if he wasn't in attendance for OTAs. He was there and he was doing work. So this isn't any sort of disagreement or anything with the team and with Gurley. So you would have liked to see him on the field just to kind of quiet the concerns about his knee, but it's not really a huge deal as everyone is making it out to be. It is somewhat concerning that in at this point in the off season, he isn't doing on-field work. You would love to see him out there, but really the biggest questions and answers are going to come in training camp when he's expected to do on-field work with the team, according to Sean McVay. Another injury update, we got Cooper Kupp. He was at OTAs. He was running routes, not at full speed necessarily, but he was participating in 11-on-11 drills, and he was catching passes from Jared Goff. He was doing stuff on the side. So he's really working its way back well from this torn ACL. He's expected to be ready for the start of the season in week one. That's always been the goal for the Rams, and it's looking like he's going to be more of a participant in training camp than maybe initially expected. Really, you would love to see him going full speed in training camp, but the Rams are not going to force him back. They're not going to rush him and try to put him ahead of schedule, because really, he's already proved that he has a full grasp of the offense. He's a reliable target for Jared Goff, and the risk of re-injury is not worth trying to get him back sooner rather than later. So, but he's right on track, as Sean McVay said, for being ready in week one. And not much of a concern there with Cooper Kupp. Just some other reports coming out of practices. Jared Goff apparently had a very good spring. He looked sharp throwing the ball. He had a strong connection with Gerald Everett, who made a few nice catches in practice. But as you would expect, Jared Goff just continues to improve. And the second half of the season and into the postseason was hopefully just a blip on the radar and kind of an anomaly for Goff, whereas he's going to get back to his usual sharp self that he was early in last season, looking like an MVP candidate. So hopefully the Rams get him back to that level and gain his confidence back. And really, the spring workouts aren't going to determine how well he's going to play this season, but it is good to see him playing well, and all the reports coming out of minicamp and OTAs being positive for Goff. Another guy who stood out is Sebastian Joseph Day, second-year nose tackle. Wade Phillips loves what he's seen from him this offseason. Obviously, the Rams need to replace Dominican Sue, who left in free agency. But Sebastian Joseph Day and Greg Gaines are going to be two guys who are up next, really, to replace Sue at nose tackle. There's going to be some healthy competition there between them. You might be able to throw in Tanzel Smart too, but Sebastian Joseph Day and Greg Gaines are really the front runners, and I believe they both got first team reps. I know Sebastian Joseph Day did at nose tackle, and I'm sure Greg Gaines did as well in the base packages, as Sean McVay and Wade Phillips talked about after he was drafted. Micah Kizer is stepping up into that starting linebacker role in place of Mark Barron. He's in line to start next to Corey Littleton. McVay and Wade Phillips talked about him being a two-down player, first and second down for the Rams, and that's kind of what you would expect for a guy like Kizer. He's a better run defender than he is in coverage, so you get him on first and second down where teams are more apt to run, and then you sub him out for maybe someone like Taylor Rapp or Marquis Christian, where they're better in coverage, more athletic guys who can hold up against these three wide sets that teams often throw on the field on third downs, where they're going to throw the ball more often. But good to see Kizer having the inside track for that job. Dakota Allen, I haven't heard much about him, but you figure he's going to do most of his damage as a rookie on special teams and possibly work his way up the way that Littleton and Kizer have. On the offensive line, you got Noteboom and Joe Allen stepping in at center and left guard. The Rams did lose Saffold and John Sullivan, as we know. Sullivan was really their choice, but Saffold left in free agency and needs to be replaced. So Noteboom is expected to step in there. He's getting first-team reps. He did wear the red non-contact jersey throughout OTAs, so I'm not exactly sure what the injury is. It was just a precaution, I guess. But he's expected to be the starting left guard next to Andrew Whitworth, and then next to Brian Allen as well. as far as the backups go, Jamil Demby has been getting a lot of work at every position on the offensive line. He was doing individual work on the side at center, which was somewhat unusual for a guy who typically stays at guard and tackle. But it's good to see that position versatility and flexibility out of Jamil Demby, because the Rams are going to need some depth after losing Saffold and Sullivan. And then you have the second-year guys in Note Boom and Allen stepping up as starters. So you have Aaron Neary there, you have Demby, and then you have the two rookies, Bobby Evans and David Edwards, who are probably going to be the backups at tackle. Edwards only played right tackle in college, so you would think he would stay there. Evans has a little bit more versatility as far as his positions go. He can play left tackle, he can play guard, and he can probably slide in at right tackle too if needed. So just some updates from OTAs and what we heard from practices and reports from around minicamp. Everything, I mean, most of it this time of year is going to be positive regardless, but it seems that the Rams are really responding well to coming back from that devastating Super Bowl loss. Really, you can't get complacent and just assume that you're going to make the playoffs again, which the Rams, Sean McVay is not going to let his guys really feel comfortable about what happened last season. They're going to want to get back and get back to the Super Bowl and hopefully win it this year. So it's good to see them rebounding nicely this spring. And then you have these 6 weeks off before training camp, and then they'll get back on the field, and we'll really see some competition heat up. You're going to have competition at along the backup offensive linemen. You're going to have competition at linebacker, I think, possibly with Micah Kizer. You could have Bryce Hager competing for a starting job, maybe. And then in the secondary, you have Taylor Rapp, who's going to be competing with Marquis Christian, David Long with Troy Hill, who just got signed to an extension. So there's a lot of competition to go around here, and it's going to be fun to watch this summer as the Rams go into training camp, into the preseason, and then finally into week one, where you get to find out who is really going to be the starters against the Panthers in that season opener. But going back to Todd's situation right now, obviously, that's the talk of really the league and not just the Rams. This time of year, you're hoping not to talk about injuries very often, but that's how it is right now with the Rams and Todd Gurley. He's one of the best running backs in the league when healthy, offensive player of the year in 2017, and now there seems to be some speculation about how much he's going to be used. The Rams traded up to get Daryl Henderson out of Memphis in the draft. How does he affect the plan with Gurley? They brought back Malcolm Brown. Is that a sign that Gurley is going to have his workload really cut by a significant margin? So there's a lot to be determined with Gurley and his situation with his knee. It's difficult to really conclude anything right now with the way that things are, with him not being on the field. You don't know exactly how healthy his knee is, but based on what he said, based on what Sean McVay and Les Snead and everyone is saying about Gurley's knee, he's still expected to be a focal point of the offense. He's going to be a big part of what the Rams do next season, but it's hard not to wonder how much he's going to be involved when you have Henderson coming in, where the Rams really like him as a change of pace back. Gil Brandt of NFL.com projected that he's going to have somewhere around 95 carries and then another, I think, 40 catches. So that's 135 touches, which is far more than Malcolm Brown or any other backup running back has had in the past couple of years when Gurley's been healthy. But you do add a playmaker in Henderson. It remains to be seen how that's going to affect Todd Gurley's playing time, his workload, and how much the Rams feel comfortable using him. Ideally, they would like to keep Gurley fresh for the postseason and have him healthy for not only this season, but all the way until 2023, which is when his contract runs until. So there's a lot of time for them to take advantage of his skill set and really maximize his value, which is going to be difficult to do considering the contract they signed him to. And they did it 2 years before they really had to, because he had 2 years left on his deal. He had the final year of his contract and then the fifth year option. So there's a lot to kind of take in with regards to Gurley's contract and how the Rams are handling all of this, but it's pretty clear that they want to maximize his value and make sure that he's healthy for hopefully the duration of this contract, but I don't see that being the case. Right now, he said this week, he said he's feeling good. He hasn't really changed any of his workouts that he would have done last season, so there isn't much of a change there. But he did compare this to his torn ACL that he suffered in college and said he had bigger problems then, and this is just a small thing. So he doesn't seem overly concerned. Obviously, he's not going to come across as being worried because then that kind of sets off the panic alarms. But based on the way that he played at the end of the season with the injury and into the postseason, and the fact that he admitted he had this injury in week one, I'm not sure if it kind of subsided and he got over it and it wasn't an issue throughout the season or not. But this lingering thing with his knee is just something that the Rams are going to have to deal with and answer questions about consistently. So that's where they're at with Gurley. I really don't think we're going to get many answers with his knee until the season begins, or at least until training camp opens, when he's expected to get on the field and do some more work. But until week one, week two, and the following weeks roll around, we're not going to know exactly what his workload's going to be like for the Rams in the backfield. Transitioning to another topic that's been discussed at length this offseason, right or wrong, fair or not, is Jared Goff's contract with the Rams. So he has 2 years left on his deal this upcoming season and then in 2020. It's the fifth-year option in 2020, so his price goes up significantly. But when you see guys like Carson Wentz sign contract extensions and Dak Prescott is presumably up next, it kind of would seem to put a timer on when Jared Goff is going to get his. I don't personally think that their contracts are going to have much of an impact on the timing of Goff's deal. Kevin Demoff said the same thing, that the Rams are just not going to rush. They're not going to rush to get a deal done with Goff simply because Carson Wentz got his and Dak Prescott is going to get his next. But you'd be foolish to think that Wentz's deal doesn't affect Goff's at all. They share the same agent. They share the same representation. They were picked one pick apart in the 2016 draft. So their careers are very closely knit and tied together, and really they always will be. You really can't avoid it when guys go 1 and 2 in the draft and then they have the same agent. Really, their contracts and their futures and their numbers are always going to be linked. So when Carson Wentz gets a deal for 4 years and $128 million, averaging $32 per year, that's kind of looking like the baseline for Goff's extension. I don't really see Goff's agent going for a deal less than that for him, just because of the way that contracts work in the NFL. Everyone is trying to one-up each other and get more than the guy who signed before, especially when you're on a similar talent level as Goff and Wentz are. So I think the Rams, as far as their contract negotiations go with Goff, it's going to depend on the timing, because if he goes for a contract now and you try to sign him now, which I don't think they're going to, you're really looking at that $32 million, and you can get kind of closer to that than maybe you would next year when you're signing him to an extension. But that also depends on how Goff plays. If he goes out and he wins a Super Bowl, he makes a Pro Bowl again, he's a first-team All-Pro, his price is going to go up significantly, and it's going to be in the range of your Jimmy Garoppolo's, your Aaron Rodgers, surpassing Carson Wentz's contract that he just signed, and then possibly approaching Russell Wilson, who I believe is at $35 million a year. So it's a kind of a risk-reward thing with the Rams waiting to sign Goff. If they do it now, then, like I said, you're kind of closer to Carson Wentz's deal, where he got $32 million per year added onto his contract. Whereas if you wait, You might see a little discount if Goff doesn't play especially well, but more than likely you're going to see his price go up when Dak Prescott signs, because he might get more than Wentz, and if Goff plays well next season. So there are some concerns, and there's a balance of risk and reward with regards to Goff's timing of his contract. But it's pretty clear that Sean McVay wants this guy around for the long haul. He said in a recent interview with NBC Los Angeles that it's insane to think that the Rams are going to move on from him. He hears the speculation that maybe the Rams are just going to let Goff walk and allow McVay to draft his own guy at some point and build a system around him, and he called it insane. He said, as long as I have a say, Goff is going to be our quarterback, and it shouldn't come as much of a surprise. The way that McVay has backed Goff his entire career since he's been here, and really just offered consistent praise of the young quarterback and what he's done for the Rams the past couple of seasons, leading them to the playoffs, leading them to the Super Bowl, and making two Pro Bowls. So there's really no concern about McVay's commitment to Goff, unless he's just straight up lying to us about how he feels about the quarterback. But it's hard to imagine him not pounding the table to sign Goff long term after this season, which I think is kind of the timeline for what the Rams are looking at. You don't want to let his contract expire and then have to play the game of tag like the Vikings or like the Redskins did with Kirk Cousins, and risk him just leaving in free agency after a couple of years. So I think a contract will get done next year. I don't think it's going to happen this offseason, but keep an eye on next year being that timeline for Goff to get a deal done. And then just wrapping up here, a few players who I think could break out and have strong 2019 seasons. One of them, I'm sure you expect, because he's been mentioned pretty often as a breakout candidate the past couple of years, and that's Gerald Everett. Really, we're just waiting to see him become that starting tight end for the Rams that Sean McVay drafted him to be in 2017, when he first got here. You would expect him to be really that Jordan Reed type, someone you can move around the formation like a George Kittle, where he's good after the catch. He has good athleticism. He can elevate and bring down passes in the red zone. We just haven't seen that enough from Gerald Everett in his career. And everyone's hoping that 2019 is a season where that happens and he takes his game to another level and maybe Tyler Higbee gets traded. I would have thought that maybe they would explore that trade with the Patriots considering how badly they needed a tight end. But as long as Everett continues to develop into a more well-rounded tight end, he has a chance to become the starter. Where he's playing just about every snap like he was towards the end of the season and into the postseason last year. Another guy I think is going to have a strong campaign is Corey Littleton. He is already a Pro Bowler on special teams, and I'm not going to go as far as to say he's going to be a Pro Bowler linebacker next season, but I think his coverage ability is going to remain strong. He was one of the best coverage linebackers last season. And his run defense is just going to step up as the Rams kind of work through their defensive line rotation with Gaines and Sebastian Joseph Day really stepping up as run defenders and making life easier for the linebackers behind them. And then Brian Allen is someone that I kind of have high expectations for. He's not going to have the same veteran leadership that John Sullivan did, but he does play with an edge. He does kind of have that nasty side where he wants to put guys on the ground and really finish blocks well. So I think he's going to have a good season for the Rams. And then John Franklin Myers, another second-year guy who I think is going to find snaps, whether it's an outside linebacker, at defensive end, rotating in with Michael Brockers. The Rams do need help at both of those spots where you're looking for extra pass rush help. And he showed some solid flashes last season into the postseason and really stepped up nicely in his limited playing time. So those are some guys that I think could have big seasons and maybe surprise a few people with strong 2019 campaigns. So that's going to wrap it up for this episode. Thank you guys, as always, for tuning in. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TheRamsWire. You can follow me at Cam DeSilva, and be sure to listen in next episode.